The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stacked just like the mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. It was by far the biggest thing on the Wisconsin sports calendar yesterday. Craig Counsell back at AmFam Field managing the Chicago Cubs. And we want to start today's program absolutely giving flowers to, shouting out props to the Milwaukee Brewers for playing a tribute video to Craig Counsell right before the game. When the fans were getting into their seats, everybody's getting excited for the action. Everybody's wondering, how are we going to do this thing? How are we going to show how we feel, how strongly we feel about Craig Counsell leaving Milwaukee, his home for all these years, and going to Chicago to manage a rival outfit? Take a listen to what the sound was at AmFam Field when the Milwaukee Brewers played a tribute video, a thank you, Craig video, early during yesterday's game.
It is the first appearance for Craig Counsell back at American Family Field. A moment ago, a video played on the board. This was the reaction.
Fans, it's time for
Well, one day we'll look back and Craig Counsell will be cheered here at American Family Field, but this is not that day.
I got a little chuckle out of it too. Chewy, your reaction to the booing of Craig Counsell yesterday at AmFam Field and the fact that the Milwaukee Brewers clearly played that video when they did to elicit that exact reaction from its fan base.
Didn't touch Favre.
Well, of
Fretz
course,
was a lot louder.
Well, yeah, I mean,
yeah, but
40,
there's a roof. Hold on, there's a roof.
40 versus 80. It's literally double.
But there's a roof.
Why do you
it's
always
equivalent.
Have to do this crap, man?
It's equivalent.
Like who? Like we're talking about Craig Counsell. We're not talking about football right now.
Yeah, but didn't you want it to top Favre or no?
I knew it wasn't going to.
Number one, he doesn't care. It's just how athletes are conditioned. Who cares? So what? It's
also, big what deal. The money's for.
Yes, you're right. But I was thinking, I'm like he doesn't care, but what percentage of people would leave their job that they've worked for 20 years for a better job? I'm saying a very high percentage.
But, okay, so but this is where you miss me, man. Like, this is, I hate it when we do this. Oh, sports jobs, they're just like my office job. They're not. You don't have 40,000 people showing up to watch you do your little spreadsheets on Excel. Like that, it's they're just completely different things.
You're comparing the wrong things, Gabe. What we're comparing is the human element of it. We, for whatever reason, believe that these sports guys are somehow different. They're wired differently. I know Chewy just said they don't care about the booing, and most people who go to their job, if they got booed raucously, they would care. They'd curl up in the fetal frickin' position. Hey, I had yesterday off. Okay, I gotta work my way back into the.
Need a little experience there last night.
Need that Zima to get right back on the horse. Like, what are we doing here?
I got my Gatorade.
A little shampoo.
We'll be all right. The comparison between the everyman and the sportsman is people are people. You can say, well, you're making $5 million versus the, you know, $9.99 that this guy is making doing his gig on an hourly rate. But the fact of the matter is, people have human reactions to things. That's the comparison.
Sure.
It's not the spreadsheet versus who am I going to pitch here in the eighth inning.
Sure. But also, how many other people would leave for that job after they spent years and years and years telling everyone, being part of, hey, I'm one of you guys. I know what it feels like. I'm you. I grew up. Look at these pictures of me being a Brewers fan. Look at all these. Look at me. I'm you. I'm you. That's why you need to be rooting for me and my team. and then just, oh, actually, I'm not like you guys at all, deuces. I'm going to go and manage for, because here's the thing. The thing about this is he could have gone to the Mets. He could have gone to the Dodgers. He could have gone literally anywhere else but two places, Chicago and St. Louis.
But the reason he went to Chicago is the proximity to Milwaukee.
Sure.
I mean, they talked about it ad nauseum this weekend. He's still living in Milwaukee. He's still popping up to the house in Whitefish Bay. Like, that's part of the reason he ended up in Chicago. I love how he handled it. Chewy, you said it. Doesn't care. He gets it. Fans are fans. I also thought that was brilliant by him. Yeah. Fans are allowed to make the noise. I told you guys when this whole thing went down months and months ago, it didn't bother me that Craig Counsell took an opportunity with Chicago. But it also doesn't bother me that the fans chose to voice their displeasure, to voice their frustration and anger about the whole thing. That's the best thing about being a fan, is that when you're in the stadium, you can support your team and you can also say, that guy sucks or that team sucks, and voice it however you want to. Ryan from Iguanago weighing in saying, the Milwaukee Brewers, am I right?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought them releasing that video right then was perfect. It was calculated. It's
great timing.
It was great timing. It was wonderful. It was great, and it was nice to see him lose.
It also amps up the rivalry. We talk all the time about how important it is, how nice it is. I know we have enjoyed the luxury of the Green Bay Packers running roughshod over the NFC North for years and years and years. But there's also a part of you that the Lions start making moves, doing things, and you're going, oh, we got ourselves a rivalry here. The Bears has been... You know, you knew how the outcome was going to be. And again, there is an advantage to that. There is an enjoyable element to that as well. But now you got interest. You got juice. So if these two teams, now again, the outcome yesterday was the Brewers win big. And by the way, wasn't Craig Counsell really well known for his management of the bullpen, management of the pitching staff? That was the thing that like separated him from other managers. And we always talked about how good he was at it. The great irony yesterday of the pitching move then uncapping the Brewers' offense was chef's kiss.
So do you think he'll ever be welcome back? Because they mentioned it in the broadcast. Will he ever get the Favre open arms, we still love you?
I don't know, because it's not like...
What if he wins a World Series with the Cubs?
Absolutely not.
He can go back.
That's why Gabe's point about Favre has always been so well made, which is Favre went there, didn't win a Super Bowl... So it's like, okay, you're still sort of one of us. If he takes them to a Super Bowl, wins a Super Bowl with the Vikings, probably less so the Jets, right?
Yeah, like Jets, who cares?
Then absolutely not. There's no chance people are opening up their arms and bringing him back. But because it was just mediocrity, people were like, it's fine.
I mean, because when Brett came back, they beat the Packers pretty good those first 2 years. Then the Packers turned around and beat the Vikings the next two times, and the following year, the year the Packers won the Super Bowl. But also the way that Brett just went down in flames in that NFC Championship game by throwing a Brett Favre interception.
Yes.
Like, it warmed your heart at the moment, and you knew eventually you're going to, because he was, I mean, Brett's an all-time great. You knew he was going to come back, go into the team Hall of Fame, go into the base or the football Hall of Fame. You're going to retire his number, do the whole nine yards. Like, I don't know what the equivalent is for the Brewers. They have a Walk of Fame and a Wall of Fame, but they're nothing like the Packers Hall of Fame. They don't do, a big banquet for it. It's not like they're going to be retiring Counsell's number. So I'm not quite sure what it looks like.
All right.
And the reason why you would bring Craig Counsell back.
Let me take it one step farther. Because when Brett went into the Packer Hall of Fame, the stadium was full.
Correct.
And he went out there.
Yes.
What is it for Aaron?
They're not going to do the stadium thing.
Nothing?
No, they won't do the stadium thing. Aaron will be more like another player.
That
I mean,
is
maybe
insane.
Maybe the banquet is bigger, but man, but that tells you the popularity of Brett.
Yeah.
Like the popularity of Brett, especially in the 90s, is just... In my lifetime, he is the most popular Wisconsin athlete, and I don't know if it's particularly close.
Because he's a Gunga head.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of a Gunga head.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, you didn't win three MVPs.
That's a very good... All right.
There's a difference.
You didn't have to throw that in there, really. You know?
Well, it seemed like you were, you wanted the same admiration as your fellow Gunga
head. I'm just coattailing.
you were good.
You made it on that hat I sent you this weekend. That was pretty awesome, right?
What hat?
Wow. I knew that was going to happen. I sent you the hat. I saw a hat on social media. It was celebrating the 96 Packers. It said like Brett, Reggie.
Yes.
And then it
said
Mark.
Well, I still have phone issues. I don't have an operating phone. This is getting, I'm almost to the point where I don't want a phone anymore just for spite.
Oh, now
this
you don't
want a
phone.
Ridiculous. Or is this just ridiculous.
Or is this just an avenue to say you don't want a phone because you haven't wanted a phone this entire time?
I don't know what to do. Phone comes back. It's on SOS mode. Go to Verizon yesterday, and I don't want to disparage them. The lady was new and all this.
Plus,
get a new
phone. Sure, you were at Verizon. I mean, there's always that chance.
Could have been AT&T.
Okay, thinking I'm going to have T-Mobile. A new phone. Finally get to talk to my kids, you know, start to communicate with the real world. And what? The new phone's on SOS mode. It shouldn't be that hard, should it?
No. I mean, be able to connect your phone to Verizon's network.
It should not be
should
that
not
hard.
Be that difficult. Correct.
Hey, don't cry for me, Argentina, over there. Ugh. With the reconnect with my children. We've been estranged all
yes.
this time. It's the phone's fault. What are we doing right now?
I don't know. I'm on a loss. I'm. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
So, yes, you didn't see the hat that I sent
no.
you that had the names of all of those guys. And I said, shut it down, Mark.
I did
shut
see
it
that.
Down.
That's like, got to be illegal.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Well, no, but because they use the first names, that's how they can get away with it.
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
Because it could
I think
be
you
any
have,
sort
yeah.
of.
What are you thinking, Mark Ingram?
Could have been.
Okay.
Put it on the poll. Who is better, Mark Shimura or Mark Ingram?
Best Mark in Packers history.
So let's hear from Craig Council, who was talking about his reaction to what he anticipated was the fan reaction. There was quite a scrum of media members who were listening to Craig Council before the game. Here's what he had to say.
Look, I mean, cheer, boo, whatever, man. Just have a good time at the game. You know, that's what fans get to do. So that's just have a good time. It's Memorial Day. You don't go to work today. Let's all have a good time.
And so the Brewers after the game, guys, posted a picture of Pat Murphy on their social media account. If you go to Milwaukee Brewers on Twitter, I'm assuming on Instagram as well. I'm just looking at the Twitter one right now. There's a picture of Pat Murphy. And the caption says, can we show this man some love, please? And wow, that felt like another layer of the trolling, right? Like, because Pat Murphy's team got the win yesterday. Pat Murphy has done really, really well leading this Brewers team this season. Sounds like all the guys really like him. He's pretty like old school tough. There's like a graveliness to him. And I thought we should also remember Pat Murphy doesn't get the gig as the Brewers manager unless Craig Council leaves. And oh, by the way, Craig Council did bring Pat Murphy in to be on his staff. So, like, there's another layer of the whole. It's not like they went out and just got some rando guy after Craig Council chose to leave. They brought up the guy who Craig Council had on the staff. Let's hear from Pat Murphy yesterday on what it was like to face his friend and former boss in Craig Council.
I was facing Craig.
Well, the team.
The team that I'm involved with is against the team he's involved with. Our environment here today was great. I don't remember that one that much. You know what I mean? I know there was a lot of people, but I mean, Wrigley Field's always tremendous environment. So I don't really compare the environments. I was just really watching the baseball game, but I was thankful for our fans to come out and support us.
Handled that very well.
I think they just had fun with it.
And he also missed the first time that he was supposed to go head to head with Craig Council, if you remember correctly, because he was suspended.
Yeah. No, I thought, will it be the same today?
No. I mean, the booze
still
will still...
Boo.
The booze will be there, but there's nothing... You know this, Drew. There's nothing like the first time. It was the first opportunity. Had to take the big swing. And, I mean, the crowd's not going to be as big. Yesterday, day game, Memorial Day. You know, I think it was nearly sold out. Might have been sold out. So 40 to 42,000 people. I mean, tonight will be 28 to 30 and... Yeah, the boo birds will come out, but it won't be nearly as strong as it was yesterday.
Do you think Craig is embracing the villain role?
I think he, doing the cheer, boo, whatever thing, I think he kind of learned his lesson. Because remember, when this first happened, he was like taken aback by the whole thing. Like he couldn't believe the negative reaction from the Brewers fan base. So I think he has learned in the time from when he left to the time he came back officially as the manager of the Cubs, I think he kind of learned to lean into it a little bit more because, again, he was, oh, man, I can't believe that this is, you know, it seemed like he was shocked by the reaction initially.
Really?
Which,
why would you be shocked?
I don't know.
Huh.
Let me ask you a question very quickly before we get to break here. We got Jason Wilde coming up, and we'll talk all things green and gold with him. If they're still booing, it's a four-game series. By game four, and the Brewers have just wiped the floor with the Cubs in every game, I feel a little...
No.
Overkill?
Not even a little bit.
I don't think so.
Not even really? A little bit. Yeah. Nope.
Yeah, I think at game four, if your team has been winning and winning and winning, it's just like, at that point, just enjoy it. Just... I don't know. There was a part of me that's like, I love it yesterday. That's home field advantage. That's the environment you want to create. Make sure they know it's a hostile environment. There's so many freaking baseball games. You're going to do this every time they play the Cubs?
But it's only like seven now, though. It's only seven in AmFam. So it's not like it used to be when it felt like it was 20 games on each side. They've trimmed down the number of divisional games that you play. So yeah, take advantage of every last one of them. Let me ask you this, Jen. Matt LaFleur hasn't lost to the Chicago Bears. Beaten them every time. So we're not supposed to play the Bears still suck when the Bears come up this? Well, I mean, they've dominated so much. It kind of feels... No, you play that damn song. You have fun with it.
You fly the L flag. You laugh in their face. Keep it going.
All right. Apparently, you guys have spoken. Let's hear from Jason Wilde. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Get to him right after this.
Ready?
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jason Wilde, how was your holiday weekend?
Sorry. It was fine. How was yours, Jen Latta?
It was fine. I had way too much fun last night. That's the problem with a Monday barbecue day, Monday celebration, Monday get-together. You got work the next day, and, well, I slept on the floor last night.
In our
power
rankings is going to... Assess that.
Top 10 hangover cures?
Yeah.
I got the Gatorade going. I housed a biscuit earlier this morning. It feels like those two things have got me on the road to recovery. Well, where is Jason? Does it sound like he's like...
I just don't know what to say. I'm sorry.
No. I was talking more about like, it sounds like you're in a...
dungeon?
I'm where I always am. I'm petting my dog, talking to you guys with my headphones in.
All right. Good. All right, Jason, let's talk about those Green Bay Packers. Chewy was wondering what your biggest takeaway was from OTAs. So let's get in it right there.
My biggest takeaway is that Anders Carlson has figured out why he stunk.
Ooh.
For all the other attention we spent. Anders Carlson, I guess that's an overstatement slightly. He has identified what he needs to fix, and spent his time down at Auburn University with his brother working on it. Kicks with the wind going, right to left. He missed a high percentage of them left. And so I don't know if that means he's overcorrecting or what his technique issue is, because he didn't get into that super far. But no, look, the new defense, obviously a storyline. Christian Watson's asymmetry in his hamstrings, fascinating stuff. But I feel like here's a guy who has gotten a lot of grief for missing a kick while they were winning. It wasn't like it was Scott Norwood in the Super Bowl. But here's a guy that was handed the job. They talk so much about competition, right? Competition in the wide receiver room, all drafting three safeties to compete to line up next to Xavier McKinney. And they didn't do that with Anders Carlson. And now they are, in fact, having three kickers compete for one job, at least for the offseason. We'll see if they do that going into training camp. But my point is that, you know, he got off to a pretty good start. I remember joking about whether or not he would ever miss a kick in the NFL, which we knew he would. And he ended up missing quite a few last year. But if this team is going to be as good as it thinks it is, they're going to need a kicker who can make clutch kicks. And in the most clutch moments last year, especially against the 49ers, he failed to do so.
Jason, I know you just have a limited amount of watching practice, but is anything noticeable about the defense? Is McKinney coming up, blitzing more aggressive? Could you tell just by the 1 or 2 days that you saw?
One day, and what they look like right now is slow.
Slow?
Because they're not even running at full speed.
Oh.
They're doing it at like two-thirds speed.
Okay.
And so they're 11 on 11. You know, like there was a play where Christian Watson crosses in front of Eric Stokes' face and catches a pass from Love. And I remember thinking, well, if Eric Stokes wants to intercept that ball, he easily can. But they're just, they're in such a learning phase right now. And I even asked Matt LaFleur after practice when he mentioned the speed thing. I said, well, when do you plan on speeding it up, right? I mean, you would think that you would do walkthroughs in the morning, which they do, and then do, you know, have these guys do it at full speed at least when they go 11 on 11 in practice, and that's not the case. They're also doing 7 on 7 drills, which Matt LaFleur hates. So I think, again, that is another part of them, you know, kind of getting the guys in the back end defensively to be able to recognize things, to be able to communicate things, not doing them at full speed. So, yeah, it was weird. Like, I actually was glad that LaFleur pointed it out because I was like, man, for a defense that's talking about how it's going to attack and be fast and quick, they look really slow. And then, obviously, it made sense because they weren't trying as hard as they should have been.
Do you think they're doing that because the media's there?
No, I think they're – they certainly don't care about us in terms of availability and being able to communicate with their fans for them. But I don't think they care if we're there or not. I really don't. I don't think, you know, back in the day, Holmgren might have hid stuff from us or McCarthy might have. I just don't think that that's LaFleur's deal. Like, now, do I think that he would be happy if the NFL changed its rules and we weren't allowed to watch anything at all that they do? I do. But no, I don't think they're doing it that way because of the one day that we're in there. I mean, I suppose I can't say for certain that they're not because I'm not in there the other days. Like a long time ago, I used to be, but I don't think it's that. I think it's a big enough change, even though we've downplayed it because 4-3-3-4, 4-2-5, all that other stuff. You know, I really do think that they are teaching it from the ground up, and there's a lot of process to going through that.
While we're talking about the defense, Jason, Devontae Wyatt had some interesting things that he said in availability last week. I know you've got the story up today at the Journal, at the Wisconsin State Journal, but what is your takeaway from Devontae Wyatt as he heads into year three?
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. But the buzz is undeniable, right? I mean, this idea that this defense is perfect for him and some of the acknowledgments that he made in our conversation with him, I just thought it was fascinating. And, you know, again, I don't know about anybody else how they do the job. For me, instead of trying to write like 17 things on the first day, I try to spread them out. And that was one of the things that, you know, I'll be honest, I probably could have written it sooner because it really is. I mean, Gabe, you're right. Like, it really is interesting. You know, he's talking about making a monster leap. He's talking about how when he was at Georgia and they switched from a 3-4 to 4-3, it was a huge thing for him. I mentioned in the story that John Eric Sullivan, their VP of player personnel, basically brought up Devontae Wyatt completely unrelated to why he was talking after the draft. So I think their expectations are very high, but I think it's, you know, this goes back to what we've kind of talked about a few times, which is, and Chewy, you're far more qualified to help us understand this than me, than I am. But like this whole idea of two gapping, which you basically read and react, mm-hmm. and you're responsible for two gaps, as opposed to getting up the field and having one gap responsibility, and to use Bulaga's phrase, playing the run on the way to the quarterback. I mean, especially with a player like Wyatt, who flat out admits that he's not very good at having to read and react. He's better when he doesn't have to think. And if you give him one gap, he doesn't have to think. And his skill set is the quickness and the explosiveness. You know, I guess I don't understand why anybody would run a two-gap scheme anymore. Why would, what's the, should we help people understand what's the upside? Because look, when I asked Jason Rebrovich what the risks, what the downside, what the dangers are of running this scheme, and he said there are none, I kind of want to say, nah, I'm not sure that that's true. But it does seem to be that it makes a hell of a lot more sense to play it this way than to have guys be responsible for two gaps and then not get to that gap when they're either too far over to the other gap or they're being manhandled by their blocker.
Well, with just a single gap defense, your gaps are a lot bigger. That's why you see a lot of trapping and things like that, because you can bait guys to penetrate up the field and then trap them. This hit, the thing that I think he's going to struggle with, Jason, in a 4-3, you have to take on essentially two offensive linemen and keep them off of the linebackers, right? So I will be very interested when he is getting, it's not even a double team, it's a combination block. How mm-hmm. quick can the guy who's responsible for the linebacker come off of Wyatt because he's just not very good at that? You know what I'm saying? That's going to mm-hmm. be the test.
Yeah.
Because the longer those two linemen, because a 4-3 is designed in the run game for the linebackers to make the play. It's just the way it is. It's like, you occupy these two old linemen and let our linebackers run. That's why the linebackers, even, I don't want to disparage them, but they weren't Pro Bowl players. They were solid football players. But with the D-line that we had that was so good, most of them could occupy two offensive linemen and let the linebackers run. That's what I will be watching for. How long does that guy who is the lineman who is responsible for that linebacker have to stay on Wyatt and feed him to the other lineman? Because if it's quick, they're going to get gashed. I just don't know if he's that kind of player.
Quay,
pardon?
And then they get up on Quay or they get up
yeah.
on
yes.
Edgerrin,
sure.
Cooper, and then they're in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's
Jason,
the challenge.
You mentioned the Christian Watson hamstring asymmetry. This has been fascinating to me since we learned about it more specifically recently. I guess there was like a 20% disparity in his muscles on his left side and on his right side. And the first thing that I said to the guys was, I'm not sure how this happens in the year of our Lord 2024 when so many college programs have these body scans that they put most of their athletes through to identify these types of injuries, to identify, like, a lot of these places put these athletes through the body scanner and the scanner will tell them, hey, your left ACL is X percent weaker than your right ACL. We need to start doing these exercises on that left leg specifically to even out the strength so that you don't have a season ending ACL injury. It's that preventative medicine type of thing. Is uh-huh. it as simple to you, do you think, as just him coming from a smaller school and maybe them not having those resources? I'm surprised that it got all the way to this point for him to realize that that was a thing.
Yeah, I'd be super curious. I don't want to disparage North Dakota State. They're obviously a very high level, I always want to call it Division I AA. What is it?
FCS. Yeah.
They're a really high level program. I don't know if that's the issue or not. I also don't know, like, again, what I like about Christian Watson is that he is an open book, man. Like, he stood there and he won our Mully Award last year for being a stand-up guy, talking even when he was injured, which most guys never do. But he gave us a lot of information, right? Like, he answers every question. And I am extremely appreciative of that because not all players would do that or do that. But, you know, I'm not sure what to make of, because now you know, he was saying at the end of the conversation that they've shaved like 10-12% off of that differential, and that the goal is between 4-6% or 4-8% for the disparity there. And so it sounds like they've cracked the code and he has to continue to do this. My only issue is I think there's probably more to it than simple
yes.
asymmetry.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And so I think that's because I'll be honest, I have never heard a player explaining his hamstring. I mean, I heard Reggie White explain that God healed his hamstring. So I've never heard anyone talk about asymmetry. So it was fascinating to me. We all wrote about it. We all talked about it. But again, I think there's probably some more there, and whether that's he didn't do sufficient enough stretching or he wasn't hydrated enough. Like LaFleur did say, and he wasn't specific about it, but LaFleur did say that he has to do, he meaning Watson, has to do all the things that are required preventatively, and that he's doing a great job with that now, which would indicate to me that he probably wasn't doing a great job with that before.
All right, Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
I'm going to lay back down on the floor because apparently that's what the cool kids do.
I don't know if the cool kids do, but that's the only thing that was working for me last night. Thanks, Jason.
All right, everybody, take care. Be good.
All right, we will continue this conversation here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you at least bring a pillow to the floor?
No, not last night. Just the blanket. Just pulled my blanket down on the floor. Dario came in and goes, what are you doing? And I was like, the bed is uncomfortable.
Yeah, and the floor is much better.
You know what it was? The room was spinning. Okay,
I didn't want to say it.
So being up by those 3 or 4 feet was really making a difference on the tilt-a-whirl, okay? Being down there on the ground, I felt much safer. I do want to continue this conversation about the Christian Watson hamstring asymmetry. I'm just a little surprised, and Gabe, I'm curious your opinion on this. I don't know that this is, like, we're finished with this. I don't know that we've seen the end of the Christian Watson hamstring thing, and it feels like right now they're sort of pulling us along on this path of, he's healed! Amen! And I'm a little hesitant on that. We'll get into that right after this.
Tune into Thanalis' show each and every week. Bucks player Thanasis Dedekumbo sits down with special guests to have fun and honest conversations. Conversations with NBA stars like Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, his own brother Giannis, basketball media royalty like Jay Williams and Stephen A. Smith, and more big-name guests that were a part of Season 2 of Thanalis. Find Thanalis' show today, Apple, Spotify, or anywhere else you get your podcasts, and subscribe to the Thanalis Show YouTube channel for accompanying videos and special content.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, pumpkin seeds.
No. Little suckers. They might be. What did you say before, Jen?
Sesame but those seeds. Are white. Like, yeah.
No,
white.
These aren't white. No, this isn't on the outside. This is on the inside.
Seeds on the inside.
Oh, yeah. So you've got some sort of, like,
scrotum.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It's another Tuesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. If you missed any of our conversation with Jason Wilde, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to everybody who is watching on the YouTube page as well. Remember, you can weigh in, get your comments in on that page as well. We were just talking about Christian Watson and how it feels like maybe they have figured out the issue with his hamstrings. There was a 20% disparity in the size and strength of the hamstrings. So the one side was bigger and stronger than the other side. Most of the injuries he has had have been on the right side. I believe there have been at least 5 hamstring injuries since 2021. It has been a chronic issue. But he goes to UW and they assess it, and I'm still shocked that this was not done earlier in the process. I'm shocked that, like, even the strength and conditioning. Chewy, didn't you guys do strength exercises to, like, see if there was a disparity between your left and your right side?
We had one at BC. When you went to the combine, you had, it's called a Cybex machine. That's all computerized, and it straps your leg in, and it measures your quad and your hamstring. And I just don't buy. I mean, like you said, it's 2024. You know, anytime you had a hamstring pull, that's how they gauged how close you are to being back. Because every year during the physical, you had to do the Cybex to measure, okay, your hamstring should be
Yeah, like
and
a baseline.
Quad should be the strongest as you're going to camp. So there's your baseline. Like, to me, this just, I mean, really?
Dr. Chimura.
Yes.
Is it possible that the disparity is because of the injury? Like, because he's injured it and has had to deal with that the last 2 years. So that's why nobody caught it, because it wasn't initially like this. But now, because he's had the hamstring issues on that leg and has become 20% weaker than the other leg because of the injury, and this but isn't the reason for the
injury. Of course,
the
answer to that question is yes. Of course,
yes,
it is,
but
right?
The side backs,
atrophy and yes. all of those things that go along, which is why I'm nervous. Because if the disparity in size was because of the injuries, back to back to back to back, and it never got as strong as the other one, there's an underlying. There's still something
Correct.
That is creating. There is something that is making the hamstring injuries occur. It is not the size disparity. Maybe that became a reason, but it was not the initial reason, and that's why I said, I'm not ready to jump on the bandwagon of hallelujah, praise the Lord, Christian Watson is healed.
I mean, a strength coach should balance it out, though, because where, I mean, you do a lot of hamstring stuff, and then for quads, it's a little tougher, but obviously leg extensions, and then you do front squats and things like that, where the squat's in the front
yeah,
of you,
yeah,
so
yeah.
you're working your quads instead of your hamstrings. So, I mean, how many? This is his third year?
This is year number
going
three.
Going into three?
Yep.
I mean, they had this crap around when I was there to measure the difference. I'm having a hard time going, oh, there's a disparity. Really? Because that's like the first thing you check on the list of why does this guy have such chronic hamstring?
I hope that's not the only thing they did over at UW with the grants they got from the NFL to study hamstring injuries.
$4 million or something
yeah,
like
right?
that was what the yeah. grant was. So I guess my point is there could still be some underlying issues. There could still be some mm-hmm. underlying things. There are people talking about his gait was something that was thrown out there. You know, like there's a optimal running gait where your feet are, you're basically your butt is underneath your trunk and your feet are behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Some people run with their legs out in
yeah.
front of them. That's not
sure.
considered optimal gait. There might be a concern with your hip level. You know, there have been times where I've gone to my PT and she'll be like, whoa, one hip is way higher
yeah.
than the other. And they yeah. got to do a little to even it all out. Joshy, what's your
reaction?
Is
that reaction? What they do?
Yeah, it's basically like
they, milking a cow is what he looks yeah. like they're doing over
what
there.
Is,
they yank on the one leg, hold the other leg. They yank on the leg. I mean, this is unscientific. I want to make sure I put this out there. Yanking
That's
on
why
the
I
leg.
Had more questions. I had some follow-ups I wanted to trust.
Yanking on the leg is not going to do what you think it's to do. Okay, just put that out there.
Well, maybe not for you.
Solve all of your problems. Is
yeah.
that what you were going to say, Josh? You're welcome to jump in
yeah.
here if you want to, but if you choose to refrain, I would understand.
What I took away was the big difference in the reoccurrence of the injuries was the strength difference. Now, what led to the initial injury seems like lack of care and knowledge of how to properly handle when you. I mean, he's a super athlete. He is above
yeah.
and beyond
mm-hmm.
in terms of. Even guys in the NFL, when it comes to size, speed, and
explosiveness,
strength.
Explosiveness, right?
Yes, he is as good as it gets. To me, what it seemed like is the reoccurrence became an issue because of those hamstrings never fully healing with the amount of times it happened. So there wasn't a size difference necessarily. It was a strength difference in the muscle because, frankly, 20%, if you looked at a guy, you could go, whoa, what's going on there with that? And the way these guys are poked and prodded, that would be obvious. So to me, it seems like what Jason mentioned at the end there is the important stuff of
the LaFleur stuff.
Yes. Now that we know you have mm-hmm. to build up your strength back here, now you need to do all the things to be preventative and keep this from happening again in the future. Because once it's balanced, you have no more excuse. There's no more thing we can point at as this is a reoccurring issue. Because of the strength difference.
I appreciate you trying to create the difference between strength and size, but one of the reports I saw did say muscle mass.
Yeah,
20%
I mean, because
muscle mass.
Because quads are sexier to work. It's like your bicep over your tricep. You know, Ron Bergen, you know, I did 1,000. I don't know if you were counting. You know, because you get the teardrop by your knee and they just, it looks, your hamstrings.
I have to sculpt my guns at the office.
Will you stop saying the word guns? So it could be a little bit of that, but just when something's chronic, that's like the first thing you go to. Oh. Is there a disparity in the strength between quad and hamstring? I don't know.
The thing that I saw was, and it came from his father, which you can take with a grain of salt, was that some of the reporting was inaccurate or it was misunderstood, basically. So could it be size? Certainly. But his dad was saying that the strength was the issue and it wasn't like a, it wasn't a muscle size difference. Like it hadn't been, it was just through injury he lost strength. Was what he related to people.
I guess, Joshy, are you concerned that this, we haven't solved the mystery, we haven't cracked the code yet with Christian Watson?
Oh, certainly. I think when it comes to something, and Gabe and I talked about this, and we kind of like got nervous when they're like, well, yeah, we'll have to see. It seems like the Packers are like, hey, man, you got to step up here and take care of this the right way and consistently make it a focus of yours. It doesn't seem like there's no silver bullet here.
There's a possibility that there is no, yeah, like Josh said, there's no real answer that he's just, for whatever reason, whether it's the gait, whether it's just genetics, that is, he's more susceptible to some sort of hamstring injury, and he has to do everything he can in the preventative care to prevent it from, and that doesn't even mean it's not going to happen again. But then you have to figure out ways to try to maybe bounce back quicker than you have in the past, and maybe the strength disparity helps that out.
Is he a helicopter dad or what? I mean, most times it's a helicopter mom, right? I mean, his dad is still talking for his kid? What the hell is that all about?
It's what Twitter does, man.
He's trying to make his own career in media.
I find that very strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not alone.
Really? Yeah. I mean, my dad didn't even know what football was.
That's my favorite thing about your dad. I never met your dad, but...
Never played a sport in his life.
Knowing that he went to your games when you were at BC and did not watch the defense and opened up a book instead is one of my favorite things that
I know. The only thing he would do, he wouldn't let us yell at the refs. So we'd be yelling at the refs at a game,
policy.
And you'd just hear, Marky, don't you do that! Sure, Dad, go...
He called you Marky?
Read a book somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. And how embarrassing is that?
I'm going to start calling you Marky. Yeah.
Marky Mark.
Don't you yell at those referees.
Marky.
You're the least Marky Mark of all time.
But it does feel like we might have a new theme song for our guy over here. Just for whatever it's worth, I did see an article on CBS Sports that said that 2023 NFL Scouting Combine was using body scans for the first time in hopes of eventually replacing all of the manual tests and physicals that they normally did. The hope was that it would be fully implemented for the 2024 Combine, which of course was just a few months ago. So the NFL is continuing to make strides in that space. Of course, I had told you guys, I know of SEC programs. I know of big time Division I programs that as soon as you set foot on campus, they're getting your butt in there. They're scanning your body to see where they need to be focusing attention because now you are an investment for that program. And the last thing they want to do is have you have a fluke injury that they didn't see coming that knocks you out for a year. And then they're trying to, you know, rework their depth chart at a certain position.
How would your liver hold up to that scan today? Looks like you slept on the floor.
My liver? Yeah, my liver's having a bad day. My head is having a bad day. I feel like, look, I came in being like, if I could just give a 6 today, that'd be good. A 6 would be good.
That's shoot, right. Shoot for every day.
Goodness.
Just shooting for the moon there. They put themselves in harm's way for us. They sacrifice time with their loved ones. For us, they are our heroes. That's why Ewald Automotive proudly salutes those who serve and our brave first responders. Thank you for all you do. They're offering service members and their families the benefits of their Military Advantage program with special pricing, incentives on every vehicle, plus all month long, Ewald is going to donate to local military and first responder charities for every car sold. And with Ewald, you know it's easy, and it's always easy to start. Just go to ewaldauto.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Can I be Chuck Woolery?
Yeah, Tiny Mike.
I mean,
average.
I mean...
No, I want to ask the questions. Tiny Mike.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you love sports betting, you have got to make your way over to the Potawatomi Casino Hotel Sportsbook. It has everything a sports fanatic could want and more. First of all, you walk in and you see the 2,000 square foot video wall. You smell the aromas coming out of the new restaurant, The Kitchen, and you see all of the self-service betting kiosks and the seating for more than 200 people. And when you're in a rush, they have free 20-minute reserve parking spaces near the skywalk. They have figured it all out, so you should get on down. to the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel brand new sports book for a new era of sports betting at Pottawatomie. Get in on the action at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel.
Just to say my feelings, girl, don't cry and tell me nothing's wrong.
So as exciting as my evening was, I wonder if it rivals Joshy's morning. Joshy texted us saying, I just hit for the cycle. Triple crown. You said the trifecta.
Uh-huh.
Tell everybody what your morning was like at the gas station.
Yeah, this morning I made a stop to grab myself a Gatorade at the gas station. I didn't drink yesterday like Jen, but still have a little bit
Should've
lingering.
Should have had you grab me one. That
yeah. Had a little bit lingering, so I said, oh, let's go get some hydration early in the morning. As I'm walking in, there's a gentleman who is walking out, and I take note of him lighting up a cigarette upon exit of the door. And I said, well, there's only one car here, and it's parked at the gas at the pump. So I'm like, well, that's probably not the best idea,
bad
but
idea.
Whatever. Yeah. So I go in, get my business, come walking out. And as I'm walking out, I am met with a man standing at his car while smoking a cigarette and pumping gas, urinating on the floor. And when he hears the door open, he turns to me, looks at me, cuts himself off midstream, with his unit still in his hand.
Did he look at you like, what are you looking at type of thing? Was it one of those like, what are you doing here?
Wait, so one hand on the pump or was the pump on the like auto
pump
thing?
Pump is on auto, right?
One hand on the grit.
Pump, yeah. Pump is on auto.
Okay.
Hand is on the heater, which is near his mouth.
Yep.
And there is
and
a
the other hand is on the unit.
The unit, yeah. I don't know. It was seemingly like he forgot I was there despite us walking past each other. And I kind of like parked in front. So it was like my car was very obvious.
Very visible.
Right there. There was no missing me. I was no surprise. But yeah, right at 5 a.m. on a busy intersection of Holly and Valete where I was stopping at the gas station. Just letting it all go.
How do we explain that, Chu?
I don't know. I was doing the same thing at my house at 5. So it's not really
with
a big
a cigarette?
Idea. No cigarette, but... keeping the deer away.
I feel like the worst part of that is the cigarette, though.
Yes.
Like the worst part of that whole thing.
I'll tell them to put it out.
Oh, yeah.
Morons. I mean, smoking.
While
are just
gas is getting
dumb.
Pumped in your car, that's the worst idea of it all. I mean, it's all.
Because the fumes,
bad
that's
ideas.
All you need are the fumes.
Oh,
you
yeah.
don't need the actual gasoline to touch the cigarette.
Maybe he was holding his unit. Getting ready to put out a fire. Yeah, maybe that's what it was. Fire hose
possibly.
And whatnot. So Joshy had an exciting morning at the pump. I'm trying to figure out why you guys, is this a thing that y'all do where
yeah.
you just pee outside?
Yes. Saving water. Conserving water.
What do you mean saving water?
And it's
water?
Good for the
you're
soil.
Not flushing?
Yeah. Sure.
Is it good for the soil? I know where my dog has peed
Have
outside.
Have you seen
the, grass
the Big
is
Short?
Away.
Don't you remember the Big Short and Brad Pitt saying, hey, you got to pee in your garden?
Don't remember that part
you
of
don't?
The movie, no.
Yeah.
Doesn't it wholly depend on what your diet is, though? Like, if you're
probably
eating Big Macs and crushing Mountain Dews, I don't think that whatever's coming out of your urine is helping your garden. But I could be wrong.
A lot of asparagus?
Just
no, I would
smell.
Say on average I zizzle, I don't know, 8 times a day. 4 are outside.
What?
Do you leave your house?
50%
no,
of your zizzles
right
are outside?
Yes.
I'm saying, if you're sitting on the couch, will you go, I gotta go pee and walk out the back door?
Or the front door.
Huh. The front door?
I got big arborvitaes right in front, and I hide behind those. My neighbor knows I did.
Between zizzle and arborvitaes, this is quite the smelly bee segment here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Why do you think the arborvitaes are so big?
Because you've been zizzling
fertilized every day.
Wait, what if it's, and not that you're back here all that often during the winter.
Yeah.
Like, you're thrown on the boots to go pee outside?
Yeah, and we don't have a dog. So the UPS guy's like, a weird place for a dog to take a leak.
You're going outside in the cold if there's snow on the ground?
Absolutely.
Like, because I can understand during this, I mean, not that I necessarily understand, during the summer, you're not putting shoes on.
Yeah.
You know, you're just going outside.
I don't put shoes on in the winter either.
So you just go stand in the snow?
Of course. I grew up in an ice tank for what? 17 years of my life?
And yet, you still go down to Florida every winter.
Yes.
Like
that is more of a problem.
Peeing outside in Florida?
Yeah.
Why is it more of a problem?
Because it's a little more open.
Yeah, more people.
See,
yeah.
I pee outside if I'm, yeah, but if I'm in a spot, say I'm at a house where like there's a bonfire and there's wood surrounding it. And it's like, well, I'm not going to go all the way inside. I can just go right here. We've all done it on golf courses. There's no bathroom nearby. You jump in the woods, you take a little, and you move on. But I'm not leaving my house if there's a toilet close.
Yeah. Does every guy pee outside? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think
apparently Ashton has never done that.
Yeah. I think you're in the minority of you're seeking to pee outside.
What percent of men are peeing? Oh, no. It sounds like 100% of men are peeing outside. What percent of your zizzles are happening outside? I think Chewy at 50% is very high.
It's extremely.
If that's not the pace setter for our entire male race, species, the whole thing, I'd be shocked.
50%? I think you'd be surprised. It's higher than you think.
You think there are more people like you that are peeing outside 50% of the time?
Tall people. Because I get yelled at. I mean, I lift the seat, but it's still a long ways.
Well, talking about aim issues?
Yeah. I mean, pee on the rim is frowned upon in our house.
Do you ever use like the utility sink in the basement, or how about in the shower?
All right, let's go to break.
Oh, no.
Is that a yes?
Wait, are you peeing outside because your wife prefers it when you pee outside?
It stinks sometimes when you go down a drain.
You got to run the water. Everyone knows that.
There's no water in a basement drain.
You're peeing in the ground?
Just the drain?
Now we know why you're having a break.
I thought you were using the utility sink.
I have.
Yeah, you just run the water. No one ever knows.
Wow. How did we get here? Did I bring this up?
No, his gas station this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Did I? Guy whizzing at the pump.
Yeah. And I ain't going to lie. I've thought about it before at a gas station. Because when you really got to go?
There's usually a bathroom in the gas station.
Oh, that's true.
Just a couple steps away.
That was why Joshie was so shocked. The dude was inside.
Yeah, but those
that's
are filthy. Those are disgusting. Right? A lot of gas station
imagine
bathrooms
imagine touching
are...
depends. A gas pump and then your unit. I
don't want my unit to be smelling like gasoline the rest of the day.
Yeah, seems like that could be irritating.
You got to be amphibious. You got to use the left hand. Or you just let it hang. Look, Mom, no hands.
There's few more compromising positions, and I don't know why I felt so awkward, but making eye contact with a guy who's got his...
That's why. You made eye contact. That's why it was awkward, Josh.
He didn't know.
At least I'm not backing one out outside, all right? Then we're going to have a problem.
Are you trying to tell me you've never done that?
We've all done that. I know you've done it.
Famously.
Yes.
Let's go to break.